You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, hey, Flying the Call is back with Break Up Haircut. The band formed last year for First Timers Fest, a series of workshops designed to get more people involved in London's DIY scene that culminates in all the band's debut performances. With a do-it-yourself foundation and the goal of making the band a safe space for each member to express themselves, Break Up Haircut plays a unique form of punk-tinged power pop. You can listen to last year's debut, What Did You Expect? I Got It Off the Internet, now. But rest assured that the band is quickly evolving and using the time on their own this year to come back with a release that's even better. So stay tuned.
I guess I kind of wanted to start with the obvious. I mean, I know it took a little extra planning to get this interview together. So I'm curious how you've been, you know, weathering the pandemic as individuals and as a band.
Do you want to go first, Jordan?
No, you're closest.
Okay. As a band, I would say that we've been doing a lot of remote writing, which has made it much faster when we do come into the rehearsal studio. It's been really cool to like see how fast things actually come into shape when we sort of prep for it even a bit. And I've been really enjoying that. We've been rehearsing bi-weekly for a little while now, since about mid-July. And that's been really exciting to see. Individually, I feel flat all the time. So like there is that. the big pressure of being like, oh, everyone feels pretty like not great right now, but also so do I. All right, I feel like I monologued. You guys best have some answers.
I guess, yeah, it's been weird. I think the band has been one of the things that's been helping to keep me sane during lockdown. So the remote stuff we've been working on, working out how to use that, working out how to sort of layer tracks remotely together. Got my old Rocksmith 2014 cable out, and I can play my bass into Audacity on that. Sounds all right, so that was a nice surprise. And then, yeah, since we've been able to actually get back and practice in person, it's been really good. Like a little stressful at first, because you know there's still the COVID about, but it's good that I guess regulations are allowing us to get into, you know, we keep booking the biggest room we can at the place.
and rehearsing with masks on.
Yeah, it feels like you're drowning when you're singing sometimes.
Like the first time we had a rehearsal back, I had a mask on and earplugs, and my vision and my hearing were obscured, and I was just like, God, I feel like I'm literally underwater. I feel like I am a submarine.
Definitely worth it, though. That's been one of the, I think the band's been one of the best things for my mental health.
Yeah.
Being stuck in, because I don't even have a garden in my flat. So we have a communal garden, but we had to isolate for a couple of weeks at the beginning because my flatmate thought he had a fever, so... You know, and yeah, with no garden and a tiny flat, it was quite hard staying in. We did, but it was rough.
Your garden also gets some characters.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned you wanted to make sure like you're all able to record together for this interview, because, you know, part of your charm is in the group dynamics. And could you tell me a little bit more about like that relationship that you have with each other?
Ripley, do you want to take this with how we started?
Friendship. I love it. As a band, we started, I put an advert on, I think on one Facebook group, and got directed to a few onto the First Timers Fest group. And I had this whole like manifesto thing, because I'm a bit of a waffler when I write. But I just wanted to have fun and have this like environment where we all like collaborate and share together and just be friends as well. Like not like you play and then you just don't hang out other times and just, you know, disappear after practice. Mm-hmm. And after the ad, yeah, Delphine and Ishani replied to the ad, and we met up, started writing, and then we went through a couple of drummers, and then I went to a First Timers social, and then met someone who gave us Jordan's number, and then Jordan got involved too. And I think it's just being friends. Like, that's our main thing, isn't it?
We definitely benefit from being in the same room and having, like, a group dynamic. That's most of the way that we see each other. Like, all of our rapport is in person. We all kind of, like, I feel like I suck at texting. I feel like everyone doesn't really like the texting thing. So being in separate rooms is not great for us as a band or on a podcast, I feel like. Actually, I think we did one interview on a, like, where we were in separate rooms, but it was kind of difficult because, like, you just start talking over each other and stuff because you just don't know when anyone else is going to begin.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that the band formed for the first time, RISFest. I'm curious to hear a little bit more about, like, that experience. I know it's, like, a series of workshops that kind of ends in, you know, the first gig for everyone. Like, how did that kind of go down?
So we, like, Ripley and I are actually on the first time as best committee now, so we can say, like, extremely well. the program usually starts in January and then it moves through all of the instruments. I think I attended a couple of those. Did you attend more than a few?
I went to loads. Like, I think of, because categories as well, like, so you've got to be doing something for the first time, or at least one person in the band has to be doing something for the first time that they haven't done. At least one person in the band has to have never been in a band before. At least one person needs to be female, non-binary, LGBTQ+, or someone needs to be a person of colour, mm-hmm. because we're meant to be promoting more diversity in the music scene and getting people who traditionally wouldn't have had access to the music scene, you know, a good place to start and find community. I'd been in previous bands before, which hadn't entirely worked out through, I think, just through petering out or one being a particularly toxic situation. So I had a bit of prior experience, I guess.
But yeah, I think that the rest of us, Delphine has been in, like, she's performed in groups, but never, like, in a band that's writing stuff before. I had never mm-hmm. been in a band before. Jordan, have you been in a band before?
I did some brass bands.
He was in a brass band, but not in, like, a band that plays their own material.
Yeah.
I found it, like, just wildly revolutionary as someone who is, like, I've always been a musician, and I was kind of encouraged into it by, like, my competitive parents. So it was really nice to play in an environment where it wasn't a big deal and it was more of a collaborative thing. And there wasn't, like, any pressure to be the best or anything like that. It was just about making stuff because making stuff is fun, and that was it. And I think we've kind of followed that all the way through now.
Yeah, because I'd never written a song before, and I'd never sung before. And I went to loads of workshops, and I went to one on singing that really helped me just get the confidence to try singing with other people, and then come in to, like, try singing a bit more with the band. And everyone's fine with me singing anyway, but it's just that initial bump of confidence because you're worried that, you know, you might not be okay. And I did a songwriting workshop, and then from that, now, you know, I started singing backing vocals, and now I sing lead on, like, a couple of songs. And just starting at first timers and then nurturing it through, like, the really nice environment we've got within the band has really, really helped me to try new things and get some confidence. And, like, some also, like, I always ask Ashani for singing coaching as well. So
I think it's definitely been really great to have to start with first timers, because it kind of takes the pressure off, and then you go. And, like, we've all been pretty easy about it. Ripley, from description, and not, like, going into too much detail, but, like, Ripley's old bands have been like, how could you possibly come up with your own lines? Which is completely, like, alien to all of us. We all write our own stuff all the time. So getting the opportunity to do that and being so far removed from the attitude of, like, oh, I came in and I completed the song without all of you, here it is, has been really great. And I think that started with first timers.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like the London scene kind of like embraced you pretty quickly. I know you played, like, a whole bunch of shows last year, and you got, like, a bunch of write-ups together and stuff. I'm curious, is that kind of, like, the vibe of, like, the first timers fest, is that kind of, like, indicative of the rest of the scene, or, like, how does the scene kind of, like, compare to your current experiences?
A lot of the bands I saw in the London scene that came through First Timers Fest, a lot of the bands that I saw in the London scene, I actually discovered the London scene by watching, I love a load of the, like, the Philadelphia and Portland bands from America, and New Jersey bands. So I go to see the American bands, and they'd be supported by the London scene. And I think, to be honest, about 90% of the bands that I actually saw came through First Timers Fest. like I went to go see Reviver and they were supported by Charm Pit and I was like, oh my god, this band's so cool. And then one of the first timers workshops, the speed band mating workshop where I met the girl who introduced us to Jordan. Yeah, it was being run by Charm Pit and I was like, oh wow, these people are like really nice and like people, you know, and they're not, because you worry that band people might be like, you know, you've seen them on stage and you worry that they might be like, oh, I'm like so cool and whatever, but no, they're just really nice people. And like there's a lot of that about in I think a lot of the first timers bands that I've met.
I think we're green enough to have like avoided anything particularly nasty in the scene for sure, which has been great. Like I can knock that. It's been great to be new. Everyone has been really like, we ended up headlining isn't really the right word, but like we finished the first timers festival, we were playing last, and I think between us we had rounded up enough friends to like actually do some sort of chant, so people kind of turned on to us quite quickly, and I think it was because of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I feel like the group dynamic we've been talking about like really comes through on the EP, because you know you can actually like hear everyone's instruments. I feel like it's, you know, a lot of times the bass kind of like gets buried in the mix, but you know, for in the EP it's like very much up front.
Yeah, we're a bass heavy band. Ripley has been described by sound people as like a monster.
Yeah, someone told me I play bass like a beast and I was like, oh my god, this is my favorite compliment of my life.
And it has alliteration, so that's even better.
Yeah,
but like what can you tell me about how that, like how your sound kind of came together?
I feel like what tends to happen, like the way that we construct songs is one of us will come up with an idea and then bring it in and everyone will kind of add their own stuff. So I think it's just because everyone's influences come together. Like Ripley is very like melodic bass driven and writes like these really interesting lines that go everywhere. Whereas I'm very much someone who refuses to play more than like 6 chords in a song. So I think that between those two, like between all of us reconciling, like Delphine is quite a bluesy guitarist and she really likes to play off things that are like found in classic rock. And Jordan, you can talk about your own drums because I don't know, like you're a very fancy drummer.
You get to do lots of interesting stuff that we wouldn't usually do as well.
Definitely, like for a while when we wrote songs we'd be like, oh Jordan, can you do like, we want the drums to be like this, and he'd be like, oh yeah, the same thing you always want me to do. And I think we stopped doing it after that.
I think because when, like, with the lockdown, we've been sort of writing remotely. Mm. That's helped a lot as well. Just like having time to sort of sit with the song and then try and work out something that's interesting, rather than being like, either here's the whole song, just play what I've written, because it's basically going to be your instrument that you're good at, and then the three other ones that are not your strength, and then yeah, they can be good, but they're not going to be as good if like you can focus in on them. And then just having like tons of time to sit. I'm lucky enough that I have a kit that I can actually practice on quite regularly. So you can just sort of sit down and plink away until you've got something that you like aren't going to hate, because you've got to play it a million times. So
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the music itself, and as well as the way you go about it, kind of has like this really early like punk feel, the way you're kind of, it feels like you're just like regular people grabbing instruments and then, you know, playing music that matters to you. Where does that kind of come from, that energy behind it?
I think we're all just having a blast. Like, to go back to your last question about, I think like a lot of our style comes from all of us being allowed to do our individual things and like go with it without sort of question or query. Like occasionally I'll jump in with Ripley and be like, oh, theoretically, like I'll put on my nasal geek voice, like theoretically this would be better if you resolved it like this, but I won't like fucking force her to do anything. I think that a lot of our style comes from just like who the musicians we've evolved to be individually coming together.
And it's just being really open as well, because like sometimes it'll be like, you know, like Ashani will say that and I'll be like, oh, what if we tried it, you know, and it'll evolve into something. Or other times it'll be like, I have no formal bass guitar teaching, so I'll be like, oh yeah, that actually makes more sense. Yeah, let's do that. So it's also, I like that everyone has no one's particularly precious about what they do, but also conversely, no one's particularly mean to anybody else. So everyone, what's really refreshing about this group is everyone's really open to suggestions. and trying new things, and people being like, hey, how about, you know, we try this, you know, when people bring in songs. But and also that people aren't mean, like, oh, how could you try this, you know, no one's ever like that. People are like, hey, how about, can we try this, or, you know, and it works out great. I mean, like, it's really nice.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of our punk influence comes from your playlists, just like whatever Ripley's listening to at the time, because I feel like a lot of the songs I write and then bring in would be like a lot less interesting without your bass lines. They would do a lot less things. Like when we were like absolute babies rehearsing for the first couple of times before we had Jordan, I had written like this parody pop punk album that I brought in, and I was like, oh, let's just have a stab at some of these. And I'm struck by how like how much less interesting they were when I just had like this Blink 182 rhythm in my head, as opposed to like the things that we make together now. I think that a lot of our punk sound comes from like the people that Ripley is listening to at the moment.
I think, I don't know, we get a lot more texture as well from the stuff, because yeah, everyone else brings in their influences as well.
So definitely, like, but like that like punk bit.
Oh, the punky bit. Yeah, I was about to say, because your influence is definitely bringing a lot more space to breathe than what I might put in. And then, like, yeah, then just a lot of the time, like, Jordan's drum recommendations as well. Just, I think there's one we've been working on, and I put a bass line up on the, we've got a Google Drive, and I recorded a bass line, put it up, and then Jordan put this, like, drum beat on it, and I didn't really quite know what I wanted for the drums. I wanted it to be a bit punky. I just listened to the drum line, and I was like, this is, like, better than what I could have imagined in my head. And he'd added, like, a different beat in the, like, there's two choruses at the end, and you put a different beat in the penultimate chorus, and it just gave it all this space, and it was like, oh wow, this is like a different direction to what I imagined, but it's just so much better now.
Yeah, I truly think we are pantsing it in terms of our style, like just flying by the seat of it, but it's working up quite well.
I think we have enough different, like, if we were all into the same stuff, there's a high chance that it would be like that genre.
Yeah.
But if you just come with like, oh, this is my bass riff that is of this genre, exactly. Like, I can't really, we don't know how to play it, so we have to sort of adapt it. And then that's what makes it a bit more interesting.
Definitely. Like, I don't know, I've definitely grown from like being like, oh, this is exactly what I want the song to sound like, to, oh, you know what, actually, it sounds better when other people think about it instead of me.
Yeah, I think that like collaboration is like so important, and it's really cool. You seem to have kind of like nailed it down so quickly, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we are maybe just making our own punk, and that's like a nice way to do things.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most punk way to do things, is do it on your own. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Kim Pine is kind of one of the, not like quite an outlier, but it's like, it stands out on the EP as kind of like more like haunting and, you know, almost like ethereal than some of the other songs. Like, how did that one come together?
Ripley had a bass line for 2 years.
Yeah, it's I brought a bass line in, and it's literally the first complete like musical line for a whole song structure that I'd ever done. And then I brought it to the others and said I wanted the song to be about, like, I don't know, like, summoning ghosts or, like, demons and stuff.
I wrote the lyrics to be about the movie Ouija, which I have never seen. I was just like, I hear this is a good one. More recently, apparently someone I know watched it and told me it was really bad.
Yeah,
so, you know. But it was kind of just, we messed around with it in the rehearsal studio a lot. And then this bass line, I literally just followed the bass line with guitar. I think you might have kind of suggest written Delphine's part a bit, like some of it.
Oh yeah, the beginning, the dun dun dun, yeah, dun 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 dun. I had that down on that. I wanted that as, yeah, part of the guitar. But then Delphine wrote that really cool bit that she added at the end that I like when it builds into the finale, and it's,
yes,
like bum, yeah, bum 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 bum, and it just, yeah, she added that, and it just gave it that extra bit of, like, oomph as it goes into the end.
So, like, that was a truly collaborative effort. And I'm pretty sure that Jordan also wrote the drums on that, because we wrote that together when we had a different drummer, and then I don't think you copied it.
I can't remember.
That's fine.
It's also, is it Marcelo had a bunch of stuff to, he put all like the effects.
So yeah, our the recording artist Marcelo Rackmuth put on like a bunch of things that we didn't really expect to hear, because we recorded that whole EP live, So there were a ton of effects that we didn't have in the room when we were recording that. We literally didn't even own pedals.
We had one pedal for the entire band, and it was owned by the bass player, and it's my overdrive.
But like, Marcelo added a ton of stuff and kind of like came to that song, I feel, with a lot of vision.
Mm. Yeah, Marcelo gave it that ethereal sort of echoey style.
Yeah.
You know the tech bit better than I do.
Like, I think he really understood what we wanted from it.
Yeah, and now the next EP can have a mask effect on the vocals. You won't even need a pedal for it.
I think we have a collective of maybe 8 pedals now.
Yeah.
We've really upped our gear this year.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, we were talking about like the hauntingness of Kim Pine, and it kind of comes through in a less dark way in Mystery Inc. I know in your bio you refer to yourselves as like a pop punk version of the Scooby-Doo gang. I'm curious who's who and why.
Oh man, I stole that from a review which described us as having described ourselves that way. Now, like, I hadn't, Ripley definitely doesn't want to be Velma.
I got called Velma at school because I had glasses and a bob haircut. Retrospectively, Velma's cool, but like, you know, there's a degree of, you know, yeah, I was called that at school for that and Harry Potter, like whichever character had glasses that people could think of.
Never like fault children for their inventiveness.
No.
I feel like I could be Velma. I wear a lot of turtlenecks.
Yeah, you're wearing one now.
I'm wearing one now. It's like, it's summer.
Yeah, and I mean, lyrically, I feel like the music kind of aims to be like, it's relatable, but kind of like sardonic or like bleak with kind of like a tongue-in-cheek humor. Where did that kind of like mentality come from? How did you kind of like develop that as the message that you wanted to put out?
I think a lot of the, so like at the moment, Ripley and I have, on the EP at least, like we wrote most of the lyrics. Sometimes we write them together, like Ripley will text me and be like, I have all these things, are they okay? And I might tweak something or the other. But I think like a lot of our lyrics come together. I personally approach songwriting with like the idea that I want to make someone laugh, or that I want someone to hear what I'm saying and be like, oh, I really relate to this, but in a kind of jokey way. So I think that's just my sense of humor, though. I want people to like laugh at the things that I say, but also relate to me, because if they were just laughing at me, that would be mean.
I think I kind of just went into it without thinking. Like, I was like, I want to write stuff. And at the start, I was like, oh, I want to write as good as, like, you know, as well as Kate Bush or Lauren DiNizio.
Yeah.
Or,
a lot of your stuff is really, like, really, really direct.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not a poet. Like, I was like, you know, and I was like, you know, I thought I wanted to write like that. And then when I started writing, it was like, writing's really hard.
Delphine is here. Like I feel like you write very directly.
I think
a lot of your lyrics, or like when you, Ripley has written,
yeah, the
Mystery.
First one was like, yeah, I think Mom, I Want to Be a Greaser was the first one, but
yeah,
I had about 50% of the lyrics for that,
like, you
and
Ripley
then we
had a concept
that.
And then we just worked it out,
yeah,
in a way that like it was a 12 bar blues, and I was like, that's nice and simple,
and then I had like a chunk of the lyrics and we finished it, and then yeah, Mystery Inc. was the first song that I wrote end-to-end lyrics for on the buses to and from work for a week.
I'm curious, you've mentioned a couple times now how you've been working on newer stuff, and I'm curious how like the kind of how it compares to your current release.
So I think that for the next one, we're kind of like, I feel like our EP is fairly varied, the first one, but the next thing that we do will be even more so by sheer quantity alone. I feel like we've all had more of a, like, we've had more time to develop ourselves individually, and therefore everyone has a lot more of a voice on the next thing that we do. And it's really cool to hear everybody's parts being less subtle.
I think it's still got some of the attitude of what we did before, but there are definitely some new ones that have a different sort of style or vibe.
Yeah.
Like that may be the new outliers. So we're trying something a bit different as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think I've written some bass lines that hurt my hands.
Yeah, quite a few.
So, and then stuck in lockdown, I did speed drills, so to see if I could play them faster and faster and faster, and now I can.
Yeah, like a lot of our new stuff, I think will be kind of bigger. I don't know, like, I feel like everyone says that it will just be bigger. Like, I feel like I hear a lot more of everybody in it, and that will be, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to, like, amplify everyone's voice here.
We got, like, more feeling songs as well.
We do have more feeling songs. The ratio is high.
Yeah.
So many feelings.
They're really hard to write compared to vampire songs.
Ripley wrote her first feeling song for this album, actually.
Yeah, I've got two now. The second ones we started working on last week. They're very hard. They're very emotionally difficult compared to vampires. But then we have a couple of silly ones in there as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be really exciting to see what comes out, because we haven't actually managed to do any recording yet. So it will be great to see exactly how this turns. And also, we're planning on doing track by track instead of doing it live like we did the last time. So the EP came together in literally 2 days, whereas I think this will have some more breathing time, which will be really valuable.
For sure. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, you've kind of said, like, the core of the band is kind of like being a safe space for each other, encouraging, you know, each other to try new things. Like, how has that kind of, like, influenced the new stuff?
I don't think I would have written any feeling songs if I didn't feel safe with you guys.
Yeah. Like, I think it's testament that you've been able to write stuff here.
I think everyone, like, people have been trying more things each, like, and trying new things. So,
yeah. Like, I mean, I think also the evolution of tech is something that we've all kind of done together, and it's been quite cool to play with new sounds as a unit instead of, like, as individuals. Delphine, you also wrote, like, your first song. It's coming, like, along.
Yeah.
But, like, you wrote your first song
It's in the cauldron of boiling and getting ready. But it's I'm not a writer or a musician by trade, so it's a bit more difficult to write anything. And I think the fact that I can do it and not feel confident about it, then that makes it an easier process. So I think, to link to your question, I think the fact that we make it a safe space, it just allows anyone to try stuff and see if it sticks. And if it doesn't stick, it doesn't. If it does stick, then we have fun doing it. And I think that's quite an important thing when you're in a band, when you're in your first band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite an important thing.
We've also jammed out a fair few, at least one or two songs on this, which we were kind of anti-doing before, but we've come around a bit.
I'm so happy we started jamming this
year. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we've begun to actually jam, and that's, like, more entertaining, I feel, for Jordan and Ripley, being, like, bass and drums. But we get in there, and it's, like, it's cool to actually make the stuff that they come up with turn it out of a groove and into a song. That's been a really cool experience that we've gotten to do for the first time for the next thing that we do.
We also made up a punk song about an egg last week as well.
That was fun. What was it for?
I can't remember. I think
I sat on an egg.
Oh no, someone sat on a phone, and then that Delphine was like, I'm not sitting. And I was like, oh, I think Delphine's sitting on Ashani's phone. And because we were looking for the phone, and then you're like, I'm not sitting on the phone, it's here. And I was like, no, you're nursing it like an egg. And yeah, I have a weird brain. And then we started jamming about eggs.
It's been that, like, really nice to jam out songs, even if they are about, like, sitting on eggs. I think someday we'll release something like that.
That's really cool. Like, I feel like I've been, you know, this year I've been getting really into a couple jam bands, like, you know, the Grateful Dead and Fish and stuff. And I think that is, like, something in music, like, the improvisational nature of it is just something that's so impressive to me. Like, I'm not, like, a music-minded, like, I love music, but I'm not, like, music-minded in a playing way. So, like, it just seems, like, so impressive to me that, like, you're kind of able to, like, make stuff up on the spot like that.
Some of us can very easily. Some of us, I can relate to what you just said. Some of us don't, not so easily. So it's a bit more of a difficult process for me. Just, it's history. Like, when I used to learn the guitar, my guitar teacher, when I was a teenager, insisted I improvise all the time. And I have a scientific brain, so it's really, really hard to just produce things for fun. But with these guys, it's been quite nice because you can just join in whenever you feel like or whenever you feel comfortable, which makes it less daunting and less stressful, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I think I also struggle with, like, I'm not much of an improv, like, guitarist. I very much stick to my, like, I do bar chords, and I'm literally like, I make jokes about myself being like, oh, venturing past the seventh fret, how dare I? So I think it's like, I usually just follow in the jams, but it's been like, that's quite cool for our sound as well, because we are quite bass driven. So I kind of consider it an excuse to let these two do their thing.
I think it's good, like, for just as an exercise as well, because when we're, it means we can read each other better. So when you're on stage and something goes a little awry, which has happened, we tend, at least thus far, you know, touch wood, but we're able to get on track again quite quickly. And I think improvising together makes you better at reading each other. So if something goes a little off track, or if I accidentally start a song at rocket speed, which I have done, then, you know, we can, like, yeah, as a group, like, as a sort of organism, sort of, you know, get back on track.
I like the comparison to an organism, a finely tuned machine. Not a finely tuned machine, very much just like some kind of flailing amoeba.
Watching a lot of horror movies this week.
Which ones?
Ooh, see, I watched.
Did you watch Ouija this week and tell me it was bad?
No, it wasn't me.
Dang.
I feel like that kind of, like, the way you're talking about that, that kind of, and the evolution of the band, it's really cool to, like, see that it's happening, you know, so quickly and, like, hear about it kind of in real time. And I think that kind of, like, harkens back to, again, like, the safe space that you've created for each other to really just have, you know, that opportunity to kind of, like, create without kind of, like, fear of judgment.
Yeah, I think it's, we kind of try to remember that, you know, this is a hobby that we enjoy doing very, very much. And we just want to have some fun. Like, it shouldn't be if one day we become super big and it becomes a job, which you never know if it's going to happen or not. But for the time being, it's all about having fun. And if you're not able to just be yourself and be able to just do what you feel like doing at the time, then suddenly it's not as fun and not much comes out of it. So the safe space, the having fun, and the actually talk to each other, because, you know, it's important, and talk about feelings, because that's also very important. That what makes it a good environment, and then makes us progress to what the next step could be in that sense.
Yeah, I definitely think we have, like, the opportunity to check in with one another and be like, oh, if someone's clearly not having fun this week, like, we can talk about it.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like it's always really cool to kind of hear about, you know, I mean, it sounds like the First Summer's Fest was a very formative experience for you all, but I'm curious, like, on, like, an individual level, what were kind of, like, some of the formative music memories for you, whether it's, you know, like, a song or an album or a show or whatever?
Yeah, it's a bit, like, First Summer's is, I am glad that it exists, because otherwise I would have never been able to do this. There's nothing more daunting than trying to reach out for people to try and make music, and suddenly there's, like, this really high expectation that you should be able to perform at the very best straight away, and you have to be able to be in a band straight away. And it's quite daunting when you've not played much music, or never played music, or not played music for a very long time. And I think First Timers is like this little bubble that actually it's okay to not be perfect, or to, you know, mess up sometimes and learn still, because we're always learning. And it's quite nice to be able to do it in a very supportive environment and discover that actually playing gigs is quite fun. Music is good for mental health. Music is good for everything. So I'm glad it's there. And we just try our best to promote it and support it as much as we can.
Yeah. I think, like, significant gig experiences or like album experiences. I know that, like, a couple of these guys have gone to, Ripley and I have gone to concerts together, and I know that, like, you guys had planned to go to...
It was MCR.
It was MCR.
It's been delayed by a year. I've waited 14 years to see him. Ah.
They were actually my first concert.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
What was your first concert, Ripley?
Bullet for My Valentine at the Alexandra Palace on the Screen Empire.
I found someone with more evil than I. Oh, this is just so cute. I can't even remember my first concert. I've been to so many.
Was there one that was, like, formative?
Not really. The very first one was, like, some kind of boy band that never turned up, so it was actually a bit disappointing. But then I come from the very deep end of France, and to go to a gig you would have to drive about an hour, and that wasn't something that I did in my teenagers teenage years. Oh, actually, no. My first concerts were Four Tiddicks by the Rolling Stones when they did their 40th career, kind of World War II. And we were so far back, and I was just not really impressed because we were so far back. And it's just like, oh, it's a bit boring. It's like, not. I mean, it was a stadium, and we were really far, and it just wasn't so,
I think,
so fun.
Like, formative gigs for me would probably be when I started. Like, I'd seen some big stadium bands, and I'd seen Green Day, and I'd seen bands in big stadiums. When I started seeing bands in small venues, I think that started me and my mate. It was after uni, and we went into London so we could see Screaming Females, and like, what a show! And
do you remember what venue that was?
It was at the Lexington.
Oh, nice!
And they played an amazing show. Like, the crowd, the front row of the crowd was like really into it, and then like a big chunk of the rest of the crowd was waiting for an indie night or something, and it's like, can you not see how amazing all of them are at their instruments? But I've seen them several times since, and the crowd's been like electric. But we started seeing a lot of the bands coming over from the like American like DIY punk scene and stuff, and like Warriors, and like, it's like Taco Cat.
That was fun.
Yeah, they're so good. And like, I started seeing some of these bands, and that's how I got across like the London scene as well, because I go see these American bands that I love, and then they're supported by these London bands, and I start being like, oh, okay, this is achievable, there's a scene, like, and these bands are great, and this is so fun, and it's actually more fun than you know, the really, really big shows. So I think those, and a lot of stuff at the Dome in Tufnell Park and all that, so they're all, you know, sort of influence that sort of scene. I'd also chuck in Guitar Wolf, because that was just the wildest show.
That sounds like a time.
Yeah.
All time.
It was the wildest show I've been to in my life. Like, I was surprised I didn't get hurt, but it was amazing.
Good. What about you?
No, I've got some good shows. I remember seeing Converge being that, because they were supported by some band. I don't know. I can't remember. And it was interesting, is because I went and I saw that, so the only band starts, and no one's really doing anything. And I'm sort of really excited to see Converge. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a bummer, because like, it's going to be really low energy. You're like, you know, Converge it fast. I'm like, that's going to suck. And then they went off, and then Converge came on, and it was just like everyone just realized, like, oh, now we have fun. And then they just played like an hour and 20 minutes, and they just sort of, it was just amazing, non-stop action. Another really good one, I saw Magma, which is like a French prog band from like
the French do that a lot.
Yeah, but they
prog stuff.
But there you go. They're just like, they're formed by the drummer, and he was like a military drummer, so it's not like, it's all like snare stuff. But I saw them, and he was old as hell, and everyone in there was also like really old, apart from like a few. It's like xylophone players, that sort of stuff. But they played for 90 minutes, and they played, it was four songs.
Wow.
The whole 90 minutes, and they didn't stop. There was,
that's
like,
prog for you.
Yeah, and they just went, but
he was
like, he's got to be in his 70s, and he was just shredding, and just like, he looked like a sweaty lunatic, but he just kept going.
I think it depends, like, when it comes to gigs, it really depends what you want to get out of it. Like, I absolutely love, like, I go to gigs all the time, like, that. Since I've been in London, that's what I've been doing, and that's where all my money goes, really. And I love big stadium gigs, because it's usually big bands and the production. Like, if you go and see Muse in a massive stadium, it's packed, and the production value is amazing. But I also equally like really, really, really small gigs, because you actually get to feel
part of it,
part of what the band is putting out there. Mm. And it's actually quite, it depends what you want to get out of it, really.
I feel like my most major form, like my most recent major formative music experience was finding out Radiohead's A Moonshaped Pool had come out. And I remember I was at my friend Jack's house, and my boyfriend could like see me sort of like sitting there sweating, being like, this album is out. And I have this in my bones now. So I have to like, just sit here and take it until I can go home and listen to it. And I think I might have listened to it in the bathroom for a little bit. And then I went home and I did listen to it. And I was like, this is all right. And I realized I had grown out of it a tiny bit, and maybe there's hope for me yet.
Yeah, so I mean, with you guys talking about that, it sounds like, you know, the energy is like a big thing that you kind of look for at a live show. I'm curious how that kind of like translates into a Break a Haircut gig.
Before every show, even if it's on stage, we all like we have a group huddle where we calm down for 10 seconds.
And then we just go a bit crazy.
And then we hype up.
Well, there you go. Well, there's kind of an unspoken rule that we do not feed Ripley any more caffeine at least half an hour before the game.
Or sugar.
Or sugar, because otherwise Ripley just goes a bit crazy.
And then crashes.
We play all our songs about 10 or 15 BPM quicker. And then Ripley crashes, which we don't really want either.
Yeah, there was the one time we got delayed by quite a while and I timed it wrong and I crashed really hard.
So, fortunately, I have at least a background in biology, so I can and pharmacology, so I understand the half-life of caffeine, which means I can
just about time
for when Ripley is just on the right level. But the thing is, since the main thing I hope for you guys as well is like, we just want people to have fun. You just go out to a gig to have the fun. So if you're on stage and you don't actually have fun yourself, how are you expecting people watching you to
like,
do so?
I think that whenever I walk into like the rehearsal studio, I always leave feeling a lot lighter and better than when I came in, even if I'm not expecting to. I don't think that it has happened where I have gone in and been like, oh, I'm feeling really shitty and I've left feeling the same way. And I think a lot of like that walking on air feeling is conveyed in our gigs as well. Like, it's just like, God, we have a really good time.
I think we did also learn reasonably early on that the stages are tiny. So we learned to, during sound check, to check how much space we all had so we didn't accidentally crash into each other.
We frequently nearly crashed into each other.
There was definitely a set that ended and me and Ashani both sort of chucked our guitars up in one hand. Like, but towards each other by accident, didn't realize how close we got to each other. Yeah, and the set ended with both of us kind of trying to do a cool move, instantly stopping and being like, oh, are you okay?
Very emblematic moment, I feel.
It's also our songs, like, they have energy. Like, can you imagine, you'd be pissed if you just listen to a fast band and then they just sort of drone along when they're playing it. So
true.
You've got to give it something. Also, like, that's like the fun bit. Like, yeah. Playing live is,
we like to play fast.
Is also like the sound check is kind of quite monotonous, and then you just sort of like sit around for a bit, like eating chips and trying to not get
sleepy,
not get too drunk, and then like you get the sort of 30 minutes of like adrenaline.
It's very funny that you said drunk and I said sleepy.
Yes, that's definitely different mindsets for sure. And then I always like to kind of just wrap up by asking, you know, for a piece of advice or something you've kind of been thinking about that you kind of want to just share with the audience.
I can't go first on this. Someone else to go first.
I would say if you want to pick up an instrument or pick up music or sing or do something, just do it. Like, take that first leap. It's worth it. It can be scary and a bit daunting, but if you get to speak your truth because of it, then it's all worthwhile. That'll be my two bits worth. Okay, I've done the first one.
I think something that's been coming onto me lately is like, with lockdown especially, I've been thinking about how important it is to just go easy on yourself. Recently, like with friends going through hard times or breakups or whatever, it's just been like feeling invalidated by existence. I just want to shake everyone by the shoulders and be like, all you have to do is exist, and it's okay if you didn't make anything or do anything or go to work or whatever. You can just be, and that's like, that's enough. And I wish I could just like instill that into everybody a little bit.
I guess, yeah, don't be scared to start things. Like, fear of failure is a big thing. I think that can get in the way and you can trip yourself up. And like, sometimes my anxiety makes me think, like, don't do stuff. Like, you know, like, you know, scared to try something as a band or, like, scared to, you know, just talk to people sometimes. And it's just that first step's the hardest bit. Mm. And then if you can get over that, then the rest of it's like, you know, free, you know, riding your bike downhill, you know. But it's just getting up that one step, and you can you know, gather up the strength for that. And if you're kind of stuck, you know, or at least I'm lucky that I've got friends that can help.
It's better to try and fail than just regretting not trying.
Yeah.
I think also you've like really, really come to like represent that through like overcoming the pitching to band awkwardness. Like when you pitch a song to the band for the first time and you're like, oh no, does everybody like it? Do they think I'm bad? Do they like, what's wrong? Oh, I can see it in everybody's face. They must hate it. And then you stop playing and everyone's like, oh, it's actually pretty good.
Oh yeah, actually I was tidying my room as well. Wow. Lockdown. Yeah, I know, lockdown made me tidy and took a global pandemic. And I found a note that I'd, yeah, it's a good point. I found a note that I'd written for Mystery Inc. to pitch Mystery, and it was like this whole list, like in pencil written on the back.
That's
of a
song about the vampires.
Yeah. Reasons we should do it.
Yeah, on the back of a like missed post notes. Just like, I think this might be good because, yeah.
And like, we were all just like, yeah, it's chill, let's do it.
All right, Jordan, you had your time advice. To think about your life-defining advice.
Well, yeah, this will be several pieces of advice streamed together.
They all have been.
Yeah, but so do like a bunch of things. Don't put all your eggs in one basket type thing. Like try a bunch of stuff. I made masks. The first three were like terrible. Then the fourth one is like fine. And now I've made like 10 or 11 and they're pretty good. So like you get much better, much quicker. You just have to start.
And stick with it.
Yeah, and you also realise, like, there are basic things that you'll know that are, like, transferable. Like, just ways of, like, making something that you'll do from something else that will transfer over. So don't be scared of sucking. The other thing is, you know, most people don't actually care if you make something. Like, they're not going to, like, don't be afraid of someone being like, oh, what if they think it's bad? Like, really, if they're your friend, they're going to like it because they're your friend. And they know that'd be rude to be like, it sucks. Everyone else is just going to be like, yeah, sure. And then move on with their day. So you don't have to be sort of worried about rejection.
A lot of top of the hill advice here. Yeah. Like, real like, oh, just do it.
Just do it.
They're a very just do it band.
And we've reached the end of another episode. Thanks so much to Break a Paracut for taking the time to talk, share their positivity, and maybe inspire you to pick up an instrument for the first time. I'll be honest, I've been having a bit of a rough week mentally and considered skipping an episode, but listening back to our conversation really felt good, and I'm glad I made the decision to get it ready and post it. Also, huge shout out to the podcast Getting Better with Ron Funches. Ron is such a funny and talented guy, and hearing the affirmations he starts the show with and the conversation he has always helps when I need that little push towards a better mindset. Fly on the Call is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. A special thank you as always to The Alternative for helping to promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane Palermo for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at Fly on the Call Pod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at flyonthecallpod@gmail.com. And for those who need it, you've got this. Whatever struggles you're facing, you will make it through and things will get better. Fly on the call.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.